He waved again toward the floor.
Tell me honestly, human. Look at your pets and then look at the Khonsu. Do you think your pets will be the ones left standing when this is over? Do you want to risk the safety of your friends and family on them? I offer you an alternative. It carries no risk. It costs you nothing but your assent. Your pets will not object. They will be happy to do this for you. Simply say that you require this of them, that you demand it of them. And if it makes you feel any better, you can tell them to turn off their consciousness before they kill themselves. Then they will not fear their sacrifice. They will simply do it. They will do it for you. They will do it for what you are to them. I considered what the Khonsu had said. I turned to Doc. You have no doubt that those Oban would do this for me, I said.
There is no doubt, Doc said. They are there to fight at your request, Zoe. They know they may die. They have already accepted that possibility, just as the Oban who sacrificed themselves to bring you this Khonsu knew what was required of them.
And what about you? I said to Hickory. Your friend and partner is down there, Hickory. For 10 years, at least, you've spent your life with Dickory. What do you say?
Dickory will do as you ask, Zoe, Hickory said. You should know this already.
It turned away after that. I looked at General Gaw.
I have no advice to offer you, he said, but I am very interested to find out what you choose.
I closed my eyes, and I thought of my family, of John and Jane, of Savitri, who traveled to a new world with us. I thought of Gretchen and Magdi and the future they could have together. I thought of Enzo and his family and everything that was taken from them. I thought of Roanoke, my home, and I knew what I had to do. I opened my eyes.
The choice is obvious, the Khonsu said.
I looked at the Khonsu and nodded. I think you're right, I said, and I think I need to go down and tell them. I walked to the door of the operations room. As I did, General Gaw lightly took my arm.
Think about what you're doing, Zoe, Gaw said. Your choice here matters.
I looked up at the general. I know it does, I said, and it's my choice to make. The general let go of my arm.
Do what you have to do, he said.
Thank you, I said. I think I will. I left the room and for the next minute tried very hard not to fall down the stairs as I walked down them. I'm happy to say I succeeded, but it was a close thing. I walked toward the group of Oban, who were milling about, some doing exercises, some talking quietly to another or to a small group. As I got closer, I tried to locate Dickory and could not. There were too many Oban, and Dickory wasn't somewhere I could easily see him. Eventually, the Oban noticed I was walking to them. They quieted, and equally quietly formed ranks. I stood there in front of them for a few seconds, trying to see each of the Oban for itself, and not just one of 100. I opened my mouth to speak. Nothing would come. My mouth was so dry I could not make words. I closed my mouth, swallowed a couple of times, and tried again. "You know who I am," I said. "I'm pretty sure about that. I only know one of you personally, and I'm sorry about that. I wish I could have known each of you before you were asked... Before I asked..." I stopped. I was saying stupid things. It wasn't what I wanted to do, not now. "Look," I said, "I'm going to tell you some things, and I can't promise it's going to make any kind of sense, but I need to say them to you before..." I gestured at the cargo bay. "Before all of this." The Oban all looked at me, whether politely or patiently, I can't say. "You know why you're here," I said. "You're here to fight those Khonsu over there because I want to try to protect my family and friends on Roanoke. You were told that if you could beat the Khonsu, I would get the help I needed. But something's changed." I pointed up to the operations room. "There's a Khonsu up there," I said, who tells me that he'll give me what I need to save Roanoke without having to have you fight and risk losing. All I have to do is tell you to take those knives you were going to use on those Khonsu and use them on yourselves. All I have to do is to tell you to kill yourselves. Everyone tells me you'll do it because of what I am to you. And they're right. I'm pretty sure about that, too. I'm certain that if I asked all of you to kill yourselves, you would do it. Because I am your Zoe. Because you've seen me all your lives in the recordings that Hickory and Dickory have made. Because I'm standing here in front of you now, asking you to do it. I know you would do this for me. You would. I stopped for a minute, tried to focus. And then I faced something I'd spent a long time avoiding. My own past. I raised my head again and looked directly at the Oban. When I was 5, I lived on a space station, Covell. I lived there with my father. One day, while he was away from the station for a few days on business, the station was attacked. First by the Ray. They attacked, and they came in, and they rounded up all the people who lived on the station, and they began to kill us. I closed my eyes again. I remember husbands being taken from their wives and then shot in the halls where everyone could hear, I said. I remember parents begging the Ray to spare their children. I remember being pushed behind a stranger when the woman who was watching me, the mother of a friend, was taken away. She tried to push away her daughter too, but she held on to her mother and they were both taken away. If the Ray had continued much longer, eventually they would have found me and killed me, too. I opened my eyes. But then the Oban attacked the station to take it from the Ray, who weren't prepared for another fight. And when they cleared the station of the Ray, they took those of us humans who were left and put us in a common area. I remember being there, with no one looking after me. My father was gone. My friend and her mother were dead. I was alone. The space station was a science station, so the Oban looked through the research and they found my father's work, his work on consciousness, and they wanted him to work for them. So they came back to us in the common area, and they called out my father's name. But he wasn't on the station. They called his name again, and I answered. I said I was his daughter, and that he would come for me soon. I remember the Oban talking among themselves then, and then telling me to come away. And I remember saying no, because I didn't want to leave the other humans. And I remember what one of the Oban said to me then. It said, "You must come with us. You have been chosen, and you will be safe." And I remembered everything that had just happened. And I think even at 5 years old, some part of me knew what would happen to the rest of the people at Covell. And here was the Oban, telling me I would be safe, because I had been chosen. And I remember taking the Oban's hand, being led away, and looking back at the humans who were left. And then they were gone. I never saw them again. "But I lived," I said. "Not because of who I was. I was just this little girl. But because of what I was, the daughter of the man who could give you consciousness. It was the first time that what I was mattered more than who I was, but it wasn't the last.